You are listening to Midlife with Courage. This is where women in midlife come for inspiration, motivation, and sometimes a little education to help them flourish after 40. Don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Midlife with Courage. I am Kim Benoit, your host, and I'm so happy to have you all here. I'm also very happy to have my guest here with me today. Her name is Melinda Lee. Welcome to the podcast, Melinda.
Thank you so much, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you. You've got an interesting story, to say the least. So,
Yes.
why don't you first just introduce yourself? Tell us where in the world you are, what you're doing.
Yeah, so my name is Melinda Lee, and I am in Atlanta, Georgia. And I am an empowerment coach. I'm a healing touch for animals practitioner. I kind of dabble in a lot of different things, but above all else, I just want to spread love in the world. And as trite as that sounds, hopefully you'll see throughout this interview that it's a lot deeper than it sounds.
Yes, you undertook a very interesting journey. But before we get into that,
Yes.
why don't you tell us about a time in your life when you showed courage or felt courageous? And I know you've got a lot of them.
Yes. I do. And the funny thing is that the things that appear more courageous to others aren't the things that I find to be my most courageous moments. I think that my most courageous moments are when I show up for myself. So when I create a boundary or decide that my peace is worth more than a connection with another human being, I find that to be one of the most courageous acts that I can do.
I love it. Love it so
Yeah.
much. So, where do you want to start? I feel like for the listeners, if you're listening to this, I'm holding up a book that Melinda wrote where she undertook a year of hugging people, literally hugging people. I love that. But maybe we want to start a little bit before that. You choose, you decide.
Yeah, I have felt this calling towards truth in my life, and truth being personal. We all have our own very personal truth, and my truth was always a belief in humanity and a belief that every human has the capacity for kindness and love and connection. And I often found myself at the edges of that, of feeling like I didn't really belong in humanity. So it was really hard for me to like match what I believed in with what I was actually experiencing in life. So I feel like that was, I haven't been asked before about like the before. So I'm kind of sharing
Yeah.
as it comes to me.
So can you maybe give an example of that? Like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so a really good example is like my dad exemplified what it was to be a kind human. And so one of the examples was as a kid, I remember watching him as he waved hi to every single car that like drove down the street anytime we were like out in the yard or whatever. And I remember asking him, why do you do that? Why do you wave hi at everybody? Do you know everybody? And he was like, no, but they're humans just like me, so I'm just waving in hello.
Yeah.
And I really took that to heart because that kind of aligned with my belief system of humans, we're all one and we all want the same things of love and belonging. And so I found myself just waving at everybody and smiling at everybody. And not everybody loves that.
Yeah.
And it was surprising.
That has come up for me recently in recent times. We all, there's so much division, and we're getting a little deeper here than I thought we would right off the bat, but we all
I
do.
have a tendency to do
That's okay.
that.
We all want the same things, even though we're being told that we are on two different sides of everything and you can't like them and we can't, all this stuff. So I love that you brought that up right off the bat. We all want the same things. We all want to be happy. We all want, to have a roof over our heads, whatever it is. So, yes. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, for sure.
So how did that all lead into deciding that you wanted to hug people?
So it wasn't really a conscious thing. Like, that is just who I am. And so I didn't, until this moment, really. I think about it, but not to that depth. And so I had moved to a new state from Connecticut to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I didn't really know anybody well in the state. I didn't have family or friends there. I had two young boys and a husband, and that was my whole world. And I didn't have a career, and I wanted something to fill my time that felt like a good, it felt fulfilling to me. And I enjoy writing. And so I was trying to think of blog topics that I could write. And I had this moment where I was driving down the road and I had one of these, like, some people call them downloads, intuitive hits, whatever you call them. And I was just thinking about what I'm good at. And I got this hit that, like, well, you're good at love. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with that? Like, that really doesn't help me at all. Like, okay, so we're a lot of people, like, that's not enough. So I kind of talked back to that voice, like, saying, that's not enough. And I felt this warmth rise up out of my heart after asking for more clarity. And it kind of radiated down my arms. And I had this deep understanding that hugs were what I'm really good at. And so I was like, okay. And then in that moment, as soon as I made that connection, the inspiration just started flowing fast and furious. And it was like, you could be out there hugging everybody that you encountered throughout your day. And if you are missing hugs, other people are probably missing hugs and they're probably missing that connection. How great would this be? And then, oh my gosh, you could come home at night and you could blog about it. And so all of the ideas just kept flowing so fast and so furious. And in that moment, the idea was born.
I love it when people, I've experienced this too, where you're thinking, okay, what do I do? You're asking and asking and asking, and all of a sudden it just comes and you're like, whoa. And then it just escalates. And yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like this is it. Like, woohoo.
And it usually feels a little scary too. You're like,
Yes. Yeah. And I can imagine, because you were married at that time, right?
Yes, I
And
was.
so did you go home and tell your husband, you know what, I need to hug people.
I did. I did. And he understands the nature of my rebel and very offbeat ways. And so he was like, okay. All right. He's like, cool. Do you want me to set up the blog for you?
Gosh, that's so amazing. Yeah. Okay. So how did you move forward? Tell us about that journey.
So I started sooner than I had planned because I'm a planner and a perfectionist. And so I'm trying to, like, plan out all the details. And I'm talking to a friend of mine and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start on this Monday and it's the first day of the month and it's perfect. That's a perfect time to start. And she's like, why don't you start today? And I was like, because I'm not ready. And she's like, you mean you don't have your arms, like, ready for hugging? Like, what is it you need to get ready for? And I was like, oh, because it's scary and I'm not ready to face it yet. And she was like, you just got to start. And so that day I started with my first hug was my therapist because she was the next person that I saw. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to hug a therapist. So we're going to see how this goes. And that first hug was just as awkward as it sounds, but it was done and I did it. And so every morning for that whole year, like, I thought it would get easier each day that went by, and the more times I practiced it. But all the way up to the last day that I did it, I woke up going, I can do this again. I will find the courage to do this again. It's really scary. It's very vulnerable.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's literally physical contact with people that you may not have ever m met before, first of all. And yeah, so how was that received? What were some highlights of that experience?
It was amazing. It was really received well. I only had maybe a handful of no's, and they were all so respectful and just a really kind, no, thank you. And it wasn't, I was very aware of other people's boundaries. So I knew enough before I even got started that I wanted to kind of strike up some form of communication, even if it was just a, hey, I really like your shirt, or, some form of connection there. And then at the end of that short connection, I would say, do you mind if I give you a hug, or may I give you a hug, depending on what I was feeling from that person. And most of the people gave me a very skeptical look. It was that, like, why, kind of look.
Why?
And sometimes they would ask why, other times they would just kind of give me the look, and I would say, I just really like hugs and I like sharing them with others. And most of the time, that would let people's defenses down. But my favorite moments were when they stayed skeptical and I kind of went in for the hug and I would hold them and really place my attention on the heart connection. And a quick second in, I could feel when their defenses dropped and then their shoulders would drop. And I could see, like, as I pulled away, I could see that their face had dropped. Sometimes they had tears in their eyes, and that was always my favorite.
Just yeah, it makes it so meaningful. Like, it's not just, I just want to hug you. It's there's meaning behind it. So, what were your goals for that?
It's really funny because we live in a world that expects goals that you can quantify in
Oh,
some
sure.
way. And my goal was just to bring a smile to people's faces or to make their day brighter. I set the intention for each hug that each hug was going to be filled with gratitude for this person being in my life, even if it was for just that one moment, because everybody has worthiness. And I was grateful for every single person that showed up in my sphere. And I just wanted to express that through the hugs. And so, really, my goal was just to bring light into the world, especially in a world that's so divisive, and it seems to have only gotten worse since then. So I'm really happy to keep that as my goal.
Yeah, I love that. What do you think you've learned through
I've learned so much.
it?
I mean, that's really what my book is about, is all
Exactly,
the
yeah.
things that I learned through it. But the first year, I didn't learn lessons from that first year, my year of hugs, until I wrote the book. Until I started writing the book, what I did notice was that at the end of that year, I was more depressed than ever, more lost than ever, and feeling more disconnected than ever to humanity. And that surprised me. And that really kind of left me in a place of retreat. A retreat into myself, a retreat from humanity, just not really wanting to be in the world, just staying within my own family dynamic, my husband and my two boys. I just wanted to stay there. And it was so against everything that I had gone out for that year to do. So it was a very confusing time.
So how did you work through that? Because it just seems like opposite of what should have happened.
Yeah, that's exactly what spiraled me into the confusion in this, like, dark night of the soul, because it was the exact opposite of what I expected. I spent a lot of time spiritually seeking and seeing more therapists and seeing energy healers and kind of finding my path through the world in a way that made sense to me. Because sometimes the way other society doesn't make sense to me. Humanity makes sense to me. And so I was trying to find my way through what it means to be human in a society that doesn't make sense. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that,
I get that.
but so it was in August of 2019, I sat down to start writing the book because I knew I wanted to write a book about the hugs. And I wanted to share my experiences. I thought it would be this really sweet, like, coffee table book that made people feel good, kind of a la chicken soup for the soul. And as soon as I started writing it, as many writers will attest to, I had this moment of distraction. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not done. I need to go on another hug journey. And this time I've got to do it bigger and better. And that's where this idea of a cross-country hug journey came in. It
Yes.
was around the time of, I think, right before the second election of Donald Trump. And it was a very divisive time. And I was like, you know what? I know we are not as disconnected and as different as the world tries to tell us that we are. So I wonder what would happen. Would people be willing to take in this stranger into their home, have dinner with me, let me stay the night with them, share hugs, share connection, and just go a little bit deeper with this connection? About half the people I stayed with around the country, I did know. The other half were people that knew people that I knew. So no one was a complete stranger, but half of them I had never met before. And I met them all through social media. I used social media as a good tool for finding the people that were willing to host me. And I spent a month traveling around the United States, staying with people, connecting with them, and proving that it really doesn't make a difference what we believe. We are all just human and we all want the same things. We're all willing to do the same things for each other when we are face to face with one another. It showed me that the act of hug can really be revolutionary, especially in our society, because when you're standing against somebody and you're hugging them and your arms are wrapped around them, not only are your energies blending, but your hearts are connected. And in that moment, all of the labels go away. All of the preferences that we have about how we want to show up in the world goes away. Who we vote for, who we believe in, all of it just goes away, and we're just human to human. And it's a really beautiful, very revolutionary act when we can be intentional about being in that space of vulnerably and authentically.
Yeah, so true, so amazing to have you say that. Yeah, it's so easy on social media using it negatively to
Yeah.
get on your keyboard and type away, and you're not connecting with that person, like you said, physically. And we don't do that enough. So I love that you went around and did that.
Yeah.
Were there times when you were scared or thinking, maybe this isn't, even though, it's a connection, should I be here?
Yeah. So there was never a moment when it happened. Like, there was never a moment that I thought I shouldn't be doing this. But there was one moment in particular when I was in Arizona that I was approached by somebody. Me and my friend, we were just in conversation. I wasn't in the act of hugging at that moment. I was simply connecting with my friend in Arizona. And this person showed up at the park and sat down with us and started talking to us. And, we welcomed him in. And because, we're connecting and I'm on this mission. So, that was my role. That was like my job in that moment. And I took it a little bit too seriously without protecting my own boundaries. And he said and did things that were very inappropriate that the next day had me feeling devastated because I didn't know what it meant to own my own boundaries. So I'm grateful to him because he taught me a lesson and I got to work with a coach who helped guide me through exactly what happened, exactly where my boundaries were crossed, and what it means to have a boundary and to hold it. So even though I knew what it meant for other people to have boundaries, that moment was necessary for me to see that I didn't understand that for myself.
And it sounds like from my reading and from you talking too, you learned a lot about other people, but you really, the big lessons were about yourself and how you take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that at the end of that year, the my year of hugs, the reason I was so depressed is because I'd been out there giving love to everybody and had never been, I didn't even know how to give it to myself. So I didn't even know that that was the piece that was missing. And through the cross-country journey, I was very intentional about noticing relationships outside that might be different than the ones I was experiencing in my own life. And what does it look like to have self-love? And do these other people have self-love? And so I've had this internal intention of discovering what I was missing in my own life. And through that process, I saw how much I was lacking for myself, at how much I was not giving myself, and how much more worthy I was than I had ever given myself credit for.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ladies, I am so excited about my new venture in this podcast. I'm calling it Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. You are going to get me, Kim Benoit, once or twice a month. I'm going to be getting real with you about the conversations that I have with my guests, and I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going to bring my own personal experiences into it. I'm going to share what I've got going on in the hopes that you will share right back with me. This is not going to be me just talking in front of the microphone. I want your input. I want your participation. If you go to my show notes at the end of this episode, you'll see a support the show. That is where you can subscribe to Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. For only $5 a month, you're going to get this extra bonus content once, twice a month, and we're going to talk about what's really happening in midlife. I'm going to share my experiences. I'm going to get real. I'll probably get a little vulnerable. I'll be sharing things I don't normally share. So please subscribe so that you can get in on the founding members of this new Midlife with Courage Unfiltered. I'll see you there.
And along that journey, you became not married anymore. I don't know
Yes.
if you want to talk about that, but
I would love to talk about that.
oh, wonderful.
Do you
Because
have
I
a
know there's
question
a
about
lot
it?
of women in that in this age range that a lot of them tell me, I decided or I realized that my marriage wasn't working for me and I left it. So do you want to tell us about that a little bit?
I've talked with a lot of women before and after about divorce too. And so many of us will stay in the marriage because it's the right thing to do, because it's for our kids, because we're just so determined not to fail. Fail, quotes. That was in quotes for anybody that might be listening on without the video. And I was one of those people. I was like, I can see the good in this man. I can see. I just have to work harder at it. I just have to work harder at it. It's all me, and I just
It's
need to
all
keep
you.
working harder, right? Because, that's kind of not explicitly shared, but implicitly, we're given that belief system as women. It's our responsibility to keep it together. And I was watching all of these relationships when I was out on this cross-country trip, and these relationships that I saw were so supportive and so loving in ways that my own marriage had not been. My ex was verbally supportive. Of course, I support you. Yes, absolutely. Whatever you want to do. He let me go on this cross-country trip while watching our children. And But the underlying tones were disdain and anger. And I couldn't understand it because he never came out and said, I don't support you. He said, I support you while behaving in ways that were just not supportive. And I was out on the cross-country trip and I was in Wyoming, traveling to Colorado, and I was coming upon this storm, and I didn't know it was in mid-October. So I knew it had the potential for being a snowstorm that I could get stuck in. And I was paranoid because I'm driving and I didn't know what kind of reception I had. I didn't want to pull over because I wanted to know that I had enough time. I felt like I was in the middle of nowhere. I didn't know
Sure.
how long it would take me to get anywhere safe if I needed to get there. So I was calling him for support to just start looking up the weather patterns and the road that I was on to see if the road was closed at any point and if I was going to run into trouble. And I called him 3 times in a row. And to me, like when your spouse is across the country and she calls 3 times in a row, to me, that's like an indicator, hey, this is an emergency. Like, pick up, please. And he didn't ever pick up. And I was like, okay, well, maybe giving him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he's in a really important meeting. He will call me back because obviously this was an emergency. I called my friends in Colorado and I called my sister. And between the two of them, they determined that it wasn't safest for me to keep going to Colorado. And so I pulled into the nearest hotel to get a room for the night. And while I was at the checkout desk, over an hour later, I can feel my phone in my pocket ringing, and I had my bags like in my arms and everything. So I couldn't have gotten it if I wanted to, but I didn't want to because I knew it was my ex and it was way too late. I could be dead on the side of the road at this point, you know, like all of the ways that he didn't support me just like bubbled up in that moment, especially on the heels of watching all of these other relationships that supported each other as I was traveling over through the country. And we ended up in a fight that night. And in that moment, he said what I think he'd been thinking for years. Well, I don't want a wife that would travel for work. And he's always known that that was a dream of mine. And I was like, all right, well, we have some things to discuss when I get back then.
It's kind of interesting that it took seeing other people how good it could be, like the relationship could be, but through other people, and then you're like, oh, wait, that's not what I have.
And I think that sometimes that's what we get caught up in is that we have a tendency to be surrounded by similar patterns that we have. So that's all we see and that's all we know, whether it's because that's the way our parents were, or that's the way our grandparents were, or our best friends are, you know, and that's all we see. So we're like, I guess this is as good as it gets. I'm here to tell you all, it is not as good as it gets. It gets so much better when you let yourself believe that you can have better. It gets so much better.
So tell us about that. What happened with you when you realized it could be better? What changes were made? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So in the very beginning stages of COVID, I did ask for the divorce. And so my ex and I have gotten a divorce. And I feel really validated because we were going through a very amicable divorce. We did everything pro se without even a mediator because I'm like, this man is my best friend and this is so good. And he's betrayed me in quite a few ways since then. So I'm feeling pretty validated in the decision that I made. And honestly, some of the ways that he's betrayed me has been the greatest gifts of my life because he showed me just how powerful I can be. And I am so grateful for that. And since then, I'm in this wonderful relationship now with somebody who is so supportive, who accepts me for all of the very weird, very unusual and
Unique.
adventurous ways that
Nice. Nice.
and it's just absolutely amazing. And I've found myself not only doing coaching and healing work for others, but I'm finding myself bringing that into a space in a Unitarian Universalist church in my community. And I feel really valued for all of the gifts that I'm bringing to the world. And so my life couldn't be better. I hit 50 this year and I'm so
Yay.
excited for my future.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And your sons are, how old are they now?
They are 18 and 15.
Okay, so they've been a witness to all this change. And I mean, as much as you let your kids see all that, but have you been able to impart any? I know they're both boys, so it might be a little different, but have you been able to kind of impart lessons on them from all this, do you think?
Well, I hope that the hugs themselves have done something to impact their lives. And I don't see how they couldn't have. I
Sure.
mean, they've been with me through it all. When people ask me, they're like, what do they think about their mom that's out hugging all these people? Like, they don't even know any different.
They grew up
It
with it.
doesn't, they grew up with it. So, like, they're like, what do you mean? Like, that's just the way life is. But I will say for my 18-year-old, he's a freshman at NC State. I'm so proud of him. And I wasn't able to impart wisdom to him the way that I really wanted to, because going through the divorce is when I was learning and discovering all of my wisdom. And when you're deep in it, it's just really challenging. So now I'm actually sending Cooper, who's my son at NC State, I send him Sunday mornings these video texts that are called Mom's Nuggets of Wisdom. I will just record these little moments of wisdom that I have experienced for myself, and I'll just share those on Sundays. And I'm like, babe, what do you think? Like, do you like these? Are these just like, are you like rolling your eyes at me? And he's like, no, I love them. Thank you, Mom.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's
Yeah,
so sweet.
it's great.
And I know you do healing touch for animals as
Yes,
well. I
I
love that.
do.
At one point I wanted to be a healing touch practitioner. I kind of played around
Yeah.
with it, but tell us about that a little bit. Is that something you have to be there with the pet or dog or animal?
Nope, not at
No.
all. Energy is everywhere, so I can kind of connect in with that animal's energy from anywhere. I've done it through like across the globe energy healings,
Very
and it's
cool.
really amazing because it has evolved into a practice of healing and communication. So I've done some communication work with animals for people, and I tried creating a career out of it, but really it's just this really fun practice that I get to do. And
Fun.
I really enjoy having it just be that. So I will show up at fairs sometimes and do the work, but it's mostly for friends and family and people that know that I offer those services. And
Very cool. I
so
love
it's
that.
fun.
Fellow animal lover too, so that's wonderful.
Yes, it's
So
great.
I don't think we've even mentioned the name of the book, but it's called Rebel Hugger.
Rebel
Love it.
Hugger.
Why don't you talk about where they can find that and talk about your coaching too? We haven't really talked about that in any detail. So tell us a little bit about that too.
So, Rebel Hugger can be found on Amazon or anywhere that you can purchase books online. You can also just go directly to my website, which is melindaleeschmidt.com, and you can purchase it through there. And the coaching is really a blend of coaching and animal energy work and communication and energy healing. And I love that because animals have so many messages. Nature has so much to share with us, so much wisdom. And so when I'm in my coaching sessions, what I love to do is to coach women on owning their most authentic self, because we really need women who are authentic in the world right now. Because the more authentic we are, I really believe that's how we flip the script on everything. Because when we own our gifts, my gifts are to create opportunity for peace and an openness and an acceptance of the authentic self. That's my gifts to give in the world. Imagine if I was able to spread that throughout the world. You know, we wouldn't be fighting against one another. We would just simply be ourselves and be so happy that the other person is being themselves, because then we're not competing against anyone for anything.
Right.
And so that's really what my goal is for the coaching, is to help women to recognize their gifts and bring them courageously out into the world.
I love that. Love that. So listeners, go to her website, melindaleeschmidt.com, to learn more about that. If someone out there is listening and they love, of course, they all love the story because they're listening. What would you say? Can you give them a little advice if they're feeling like, I know I'm not being true to my authentic self? What's like one thing they can do, or just maybe one or two steps they can just start with?
Yeah, this is my favorite advice to give, and it can work not only just in moments that you're feeling like you're not your most authentic self, but just in moments where you're feeling overwhelmed by society's rules or by just life happening. And it's just a reminder to offer yourself the love, acceptance, and compassion that you're probably out there giving to others. And so you place both hands right in the middle of your chest, which is where your heart chakra is located. And just taking a deep breath in, being really present with yourself and whatever it is that you're struggling with, just acknowledging that it's okay, that you're okay, and that whatever it is, you're worthy of love regardless. You're worthy of your own love. And the most important thing you can give to yourself in any moment of any day, no matter what's happening, is this right here, the gift of your own presence.
Love it.
Yeah, that's like my favorite. I love to use that all day long.
Yeah, I love that. Just bringing your hands to your heart, just symbolically too, but just bringing that energy and feeling that energy. You can feel it when you do that.
You can feel it. And it's a little self-hug right there.
Amazing. Well, I think we're going to end it right there because I think that was beautiful and wonderful. So, Melinda, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really love this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it as well. I always love talking about these gifts of love and humanity. So,
Wonderful. Well, good luck to you, and we will talk to you soon.
sounds great, Kim. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Midlife with Courage podcast. If you liked what you heard, I would love it if you would leave me a review. Or even better, send a link of this episode to a friend. Until next time, take care of your beautiful self.